How to Be Happy podcast episode number one, JaredAkers.com. Welcome to the How to Be Happy podcast with Jared and Emily Akers, where we talk about life, love, happiness, respect for yourself and your partners in life. So open your heart and your mind and prepare to be true, be loved, and be happy. Well, welcome, welcome, welcome to the How to Be Happy podcast with Jared and Emily Akers. This is our maiden podcast, actually, episode number one. And first off, I'll tell you what our topic is going to be today. We're going to talk about how to be happy in a relationship where there's been infidelity. And then I think a little bit of a backstory would be relevant here, maybe, about us a little bit, how we got to where we're at, and maybe a little bit why we're qualified to even talk about this stuff. So anyway, I'm here with my wife, Emily Akers.
Hello.
Hello, everybody. And, well, I think basically my journey started in March of 2006. I'd reached a bottom emotionally, physically, and spiritually pretty much. And I just got really tired of the way I was living, and I needed, I don't know, I just knew something had to change. And I'd been through some unhealthy relationships in the past, as we both had been. And so I kind of set on this journey of self-discovery, and I spent about a year working on myself and really, you know, some self-discovery and learning about emotional connectedness and all those things, and developed a spiritual kind of life. And I think that's really when I kind of invited God into my life and really kind of sought for something more. And then shortly after that was when I met my wife, Emily, and I think she was kind of going through something similar along those lines during that period of time, weren't you?
Yeah, I was.
Yeah.
Was a low part in my life, a low point. Pretty awakening for me, really.
Yeah. And, you know, it was kind of like, I think we both, during that period of time, it was about a year, at least for me, that I kind of really realized that I could be happy by myself, you know, and that I didn't need these external validations and stuff like that as much, you know.
So important.
Yeah.
So important.
And so then we met on February 25th of 2007, February 25th, I was getting 25th and February and second month and all that stuff. February 25th of 2007, and then we got married actually on December 2nd of 2009. And since then, we've had a lot of friends and family and...
No.
What?
2008? Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so we're really close, you know, we communicate really well. So, but I think, well... A lot of our friends and family ask us all the time, "Why? How are we so happy? Why are we so happy?" And, you know, and I don't know. So we just thought, well, let's just start talking about it, because we sit around and talk about this stuff all the time. So we thought, well, you know, I have a website at JaredAkers.com, and it deals with how to be happy, happiness for the practical mind. And I also have a newsletter there where people can sign up. And I get emails from people from all over the world constantly asking me about things about happiness and stuff like that, which is what I'm there for. And I noticed a lot of reoccurring questions, and a lot of times women will email me and we'll start conversing, and I'll, with their permission, I'll usually forward that on to Emily, and because she's got a lot of experience, you know, obviously from the female side, and so that's kind of how this started. And we start corresponding with people and trying to help them. And I don't really think we give advice so much as we kind of share experiences, and so that's kind of, I don't know.
Yeah, let people make up their own mind.
Yeah, just like we had to.
Mm-hmm.
So today the topic for our first first podcast, episode one, is how to be happy in a relationship where there's been infidelity. And so my question, I have been in some unhealthy relationships, and I don't know if there was ever, at least on my part, there wasn't any infidelity. So, but I would ask you, Emily, what would your response be when someone asks that or inquires about that or is wondering about that?
I am a survivor of a spouse who was unfaithful for all 8 years that I was with him. So it was a tough deal. I spent a lot of time trying to catch him, you know.
Yeah.
Became a private investigator and really just kind of lost sight of who I was. I became, you know, his keeper.
Yeah.
And totally lost sight of, you know, my work, my family. I was just so focused on the drama.
So you weren't happy, obviously.
No, not at all.
And you had said something.
I was allowing him to zap me of any possibility of having happiness, pretty much.
Well, and then you had said something to me that when we first were talking about this, that, you know, if you were posed that question and you said that it's not possible. Or do you believe that it's possible to be, you know, happy in a relationship where there's infidelity? Or then we were talking about the commitment thing. Like, you know, at one point is your own happiness more important than the commitment that you've made to someone else? And you had said something about the commitment that they have made at that point is null and void or something.
Well,
like
if someone is unfaithful, they're obviously not committed. So the committed relationship that you want doesn't exist.
Yeah.
And they've made the decision for it to end. So, you know, if they're willing to own up to what they've been doing and have full disclosure, you know, get some help, there's potential, but it has to be both of you wanting that. But I think the most important thing to understand about all of it is that your happiness is not dependent on someone else's behavior or someone else's situation. It's an inside job.
Yeah.
Really. And you've got to decide what you're willing to live with, what you're willing to accept, how you're willing to be treated.
Well, and one thing you've often told me is, and I've heard you tell others as well, that, you know, we set the rules for how people treat us or something like that.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to allow it, you're basically establishing the rule that it's okay because you allow it.
But what about like families where they have kids and stuff like that, and they say, "Well, we're gonna stay together and stick it out," you know, because of the kids and stuff like that. And I know it's different with everybody, so you can't just, you know, give a blanket statement on you know. But I know from your experience,
I think that it's so destructive for the children to witness or be a part of that kind of a relationship or that kind of a family dynamic. I think if I had it to do all over again, I would have ended it the first year, the very beginning, and not put my son through that.
And how old was your son at the time?
My son was maybe 11 or 12, 13, around there.
Yeah, I know we've actually talked about all this before. And so...
Yeah, he was, I think maybe he was 12. He was in there somewhere. But, you know, he was kind of doing his own thing and... But, you know, just seeing me so devastated and so hurt and so angry and so, you know, I lost the star quality that I had with him, you know?
You mean like you being the superstar?
Right,
or,
right.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Well, now that's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't feel much like a star.
So he kind of...
During that time, so...
Watched you being...
Yeah.
Or not being happy and...
Sure. It's a tough age anyway.
Yeah.
And to not be, you know, thinking right, to not be focusing on being his mother and, you know, just really focusing on how do I catch this guy?
Yeah.
You know, wasn't real healthy for us.
Well, I think, I mean, I'm grateful that, not for the pain that you went through, but, you know, as our song, like as many other people's song is, I know, is Bless This Broken Road by Rascal Flatts. And, you know, that song says a lot, went through a lot to get to where we're at.
Really, and says it perfectly.
It does. And I think, though, that for me, that period of, or that year of self-discovery, and, you know, I guess it wasn't quite a year, but it was pretty close to it, was, you know, really learning that, you know, I could be happy and that I didn't need a relationship or a job or a profession or anything, because I really didn't have much of anything at the time, but I did find some inner peace and some serenity and a, you know, a faithful existence and stuff like that, and belief in myself. And then it was like, you know, okay, I can do this. I can be happy. I can be true to myself and be authentic and still be loved. And then, you know, and then we met, you know, and so.
Thank goodness.
Yeah. And I often think about you shared about a day when you were in the hammock or something like that. And that's when you kind of asked God for some guidance and just realized that. So. Well,
yeah, that was the moment of clarity for me. It just was, I was just calm.
Yeah.
And I knew that I needed help. and I asked for God to help me. First, I apologized for being gone for so long, and then I asked for his help, you know?
Yeah.
And it was not an hour later that I had a sign, and I knew what to do. And that's when he got home from work, and I asked him to leave.
Yeah.
I was done, completely done.
And then you spent the year of fun, or I don't know what that was called, but in your mind, but, you know, you dated a lot and kind of learned about yourself a lot during that period of time. And
yeah, I really did. I spent a lot of time at the bookstore reading everything I could get my hands on, really.
Yeah. Everyone out there, I mean, no matter what problem you have, someone out there's went through it before. And I mean, I actually hope that's kind of what we do here, you know, a little bit. And you know, I was thinking about, you know, I kind of list some things down here in our show notes about, you know, kind of topics about the whole, you know, can you be happy in a relationship, you know, when there's an infidelity, and that obviously honesty is a big one, that if you don't have the honesty, and I think, well, respect, I mean, that's one of the things that I wanted to talk about, was like, I think a lot of things is that I respect you so much, and I had respected myself, I learned to respect myself, mm-hmm. and then when we met, you know, I respected you so much, and I think honesty is a big part of that, and knowing that you're going to love me regardless, because I wasn't sure about that.
Right. Well, no one is, really. Yeah. I mean, that's opening your, becoming vulnerable to your partner is probably one of the most genuinely difficult things there is in life. But if you don't allow someone to see the real you, you know,
well,
you're not ever going to have that intimacy that you crave.
Yeah.
You know, you have to be willing to risk, open it up, you know, own it.
Honesty is, I don't know, it's a lot easier, the complete transparency for me.
Well, in a relationship, honesty is necessary to build trust. Trust is not something that you just automatically have, it's earned. You don't have it in the beginning of a relationship. You know, you're exploring each other, you're testing each other, you're finding out, you know, what buttons are there? Is there anything, you know, taboo? What can I say? What shouldn't I say? You have to be free to speak your mind.
Yeah. Well, I think one of the, like, it was the first couple of weeks we'd met, and I, you know, we've talked about this a lot, but, you know, I had something in my past that I wasn't quite sure if you would be, I don't know, how accepting you would be, or whatever, but I knew it was part of my past, and I wanted to share it and be completely honest, and you know, you came down to meet me for lunch, and I went out, and I said, I was on the elevator actually going down, and I thought, I'm going to pray about this, so I actually got on my knees in the elevator. I worked on the 8th floor, so I had to be quick prayer, but for me, it's just a humility is what it's about, and, you know, and faith, and so I prayed about it, and I got in the car, and I looked over at you, and I said, there's something I need to tell you. And it was all serious. And
I don't think I was breathing at this point.
Yeah.
I was just like, ugh.
And actually in the past, I'd shared it in a few other relationships and it hadn't gone so well. I mean, actually it ended one of the relationships and, you know, and so I told you what it was and you were like, okay, is that it? You know?
No, I think I said, what are we eating?
Yeah.
Where are we going?
Yeah. You know, yeah. So, but I think that
it was nothing.
It was, you know, yeah.
It was nothing.
But it was huge for me because it was a big turning point in my life that, okay, I can be completely transparent and open and honest about everything about me,
yep.
And still be loved. And I, you know, even though I knew that, you know, I think.
Well, you knew it after that.
Yeah. So, you know, but what about, like, forgiveness? You know, is it possible to forgive someone?
I think you can forgive. But I know, for me, in fact, I could never forget.
Well,
so, you know, the trust was,
right.
You know, he really wasn't interested in earning my trust. So not willing to be transparent and kind of coddle me, you know, he wasn't willing to put up with my questions. It was just, I think that we'd gone too far, too long. And it was just all we were left with was the bitterness. So I think it was a relief for both of us to end it. Honestly.
Yeah.
And
Well, I think
it took me a long time to get there, and I was so afraid to make this choice. It was the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. And as soon as he was gone, it was like this huge weight was lifted off of me, and I was calm and peaceful, and was finally free.
Yeah.
But that's when the work starts.
What do you mean by that?
Well, that's when it's time to get to know who you are. You know, I know it's cliche, you hear it, but it's true.
Yeah.
Why am I choosing people like this? You know, what about me is attracting someone like that? You know, and it's after you break up with someone that everybody says, oh, yeah, we didn't really like him. Or, yeah. Thanks, Dad.
Yeah.
Thanks for letting me know. He goes, I tried to like him for you, but, you know.
Yeah, I think
I really liked him.
I'd had a similar, you know, I think,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah,
in my situation, in my relationships, and, you know.
Our family knows us, yeah. You know, and they're the last people that we go to make these decisions, and that's just crazy to me.
Yeah.
You know?
Or we go to them, and they tell us what they think. And
well, I think when you have doubts, you're definitely not going to go ask your family,
right.
You know? When you're sure, then you go to the family, which is what I did with you.
Yeah, me too. I told my mom after.
Never meet the parents.
Yeah. We'd only been together for, I don't know, a couple of weeks. And I emailed my mother and said, I met the woman I'm going to marry. And
I think it was something about.
She said, after I come down off the chandelier, slow down, speedball. That's what she said. Because she, you know, she wanted me to be careful. But,
sure.
You know, but I knew. I mean, the first.
Yeah.
20, you know, 48 hours, 72, you know, we spent every second together.
We
have since.
Yeah. Yeah. There was just never any question at all. So nice.
Yeah. Well,
so nice.
A lot of people say that relationships are hard. And, yeah, granted, we haven't been married that long. So, you know, but I don't.
3 years, over 3 years.
Yeah.
That's a good amount of time.
It's not hard.
No,
because
it isn't.
We don't look at it for each other.
Yeah.
To validate our life or make us happy. Sure, I want desire your respect, and you know, but I don't depend on it for my happiness.
Right. Well, to earn someone's respect, you have to be respectful.
Yeah.
And treat, you know, I treat you. It's not that I don't have ugly thoughts, but if I get an ugly thought, I take a breath and I think about a better way of saying something.
What do you mean, like an ugly thought? Like,
well, if there's a, you know, you can be annoyed, you know, and just
like when
the
I
first
snore
thing that comes to your head, you know,
yeah.
It's like a negative, and I don't want to do that with you, you know. I know that that's a dangerous place when you start
the zinger start
letting
flying.
Your guard down, not your guard, but you know, I don't know. It's I want it to be like in the beginning, you know. The way you respect someone when you're dating them, first dating them, and I like to continue that. You know, I like to.
Well, and you know, I'm a big, I don't know, what is it? I do not like the term "get back to the way things were" because
right.
I think then you're constantly setting
don't have
expectations.
To get back to the way things were if we just keep them the way they were.
Yeah. Well, just keep, yeah, right.
You know?
Well, because then I think you're limiting yourself to.
Well, yeah.
Past experiences when if you. Have
I'm just
no
talking about
right.
like. I'm just talking about how we speak to each other, you know?
Yeah.
I take it to heart what was suggested by the lady that married us on the beach in Hawaii.
Yeah.
You know, that everything that we speak to each other needs to pass through three gates. You know, is it truthful? Is it necessary? And is it kind?
Yeah. Yeah.
So if it can pass those three tests, then you can say it.
Right. And I can certainly, you know, like if you have those gates in, is it true and is it kind? I can really rationalize those two. Is it mm-hmm. true? Yes. Is it kind? Well, yes, it's kind because I'm telling her the truth.
Yeah.
But then the third one,
necessary.
Is it necessary? Right. That's the
yeah.
That's the kicker.
Yeah. Yeah. What's the gain there? What's the point?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the forgiveness thing.
I don't know. I think that it really it's a choice. I think you have to forgive to move forward, you know, for when you're holding a grudge, that's basically part of your heart that can't love. So, or be loved, you know, you're kind of holding that part of your heart hostage
yeah.
with the hostility and it's just.
Well, and the whole cliche, you know, that forgiveness is for you and not for the other person. And,
right.
You know, but it's so true. You know, it's a cliche for a reason, right. I guess. But
I think if they don't ask for your forgiveness, then I don't have to give it.
I have down here a note from the perspective of the offender, so which I have not been the offender.
I wonder how we're going to discuss that, because I haven't been the offender.
Well, I know that in the relationships that I've been in the past, I was not representing myself very well, or, you know, I was certainly doing things that weren't in the best interest of the relationship.
Weren't necessarily truthful.
Yeah, you know,
honest,
so
and open.
You know, a lot of it was from fear, you know, and mm-hmm. it was a kind of a self-sabotaging thing, too. I didn't have enough guts to say this isn't what I wanted, or I didn't know myself well enough to say this isn't what I want or expect. Or, you know, I was stuck in that, you know, well, if this is as good as it gets, then, mm-hmm. you know, so I didn't know myself well enough what I needed to be happy. So, you know, I kind of took the chicken way mm-hmm. out, you know, by being the bad guy and eventually making them tell me to leave, you know.
I heard someone say once that women are the ones that make a decision to leave. A man will never leave. That it has to be the woman's decision.
Yeah.
Men will just behave in a way that they know the woman's going to throw them out.
Yeah, well, it was certainly the case for
yes.
me, you know.
It was the case with us. And I remember him saying that, you know. And I would ask him, do you want me to throw you out? Do you want me to, you know, and then he would just withdraw. And yeah, he did.
Yeah.
He wanted me to. Because when I did, he couldn't get out of here fast enough.
Yeah.
Yay.
I heard something once.
Good decision.
Yeah, that at the beginning, trust is all that you can hope for. And at the end, it's all that you have or something like that. And not sure what that means, but
I don't know. It sounds kind of grave.
Yeah, I don't know, or something. You know, it's yeah. I'm not sure who said it. I have. I also have what?
You didn't start the time.
Oh well, oops. I got the timer. We're trying to go for like 30 minutes, so you know if we can keep it to that. But then I have that from the perspective of the victim, which. I don't know. Victim is such a label, you know. It's like, yeah. Do I let?
Oh, I definitely became the victim.
Yeah.
But that's a choice.
Well, you get a lot of mileage
out
of that.
That is a choice.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of people, you know, good people end up in the victim role. You know, I would not have ever characterized myself as a victim.
Yeah.
You know, I was usually running things.
Well, I don't see it that way now at
and
all.
I became a completely different person. I completely embraced it. I guess that's where the term codependent comes in.
Yeah.
Because you become part of that sickness. You know, that if they're, you know, unable to be faithful, you know, you promise, you get married, you make the commitment, and then they're just incapable of doing that. That's a sickness. That's their issue. But I think what I'm guilty of is becoming a part of it, and there was just this circle, and we just went around and around and around, and there was no way out until I made the decision to pull myself out of the circle.
Mm.
I think that you can do that in a relationship, you know, when you can just, you know, as you say, something with love, detach with love.
Detach with love.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, when someone, you know, if someone is, you know, doing illegal things,
right?
Someone, you know, you can still love them, but you can detach yourself emotionally from the situation.
Yeah, but I mean, is that realistic in a relationship when you're married to someone and you're in the same household with them? And
I
mean, can you do that for a while and then hope that maybe
yeah.
something it comes back somehow and you can, you know, get over this? I don't know.
I think it's probably worth a try if both people are willing,
right?
You know, if you're willing, but I really think at that point you need a third party.
Yeah, you're
you know,
so close.
You
to
need
it.
You need right. a therapist. You need a
hey, I'm
a
all
preacher. You need a counselor.
I'm all about the committee.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, you need a committee.
I need a team.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
people that are gonna you know give you some insights that maybe you can't see because you're involved.
Yeah. Well, so like,
and in my case, he wasn't willing to do that, so. I explored that, and I think you kind of have to give yourself permission to be important enough to get out, you know, and take the chance in life. And I know people have all kinds of excuses for not doing that, but I'm telling you, for someone that did it, that it can be done. Definitely.
And after that was when, you know, you learned that you can be happy by yourself, and you know that you can make it.
I really
it.
Am.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good feeling.
Yeah, it's very empowering. If a girl, because I know that, you know, you have friends and stuff like that all the time that come to you and ask, or mm-hmm. or that are in situations where maybe they're not even married or something, but there's infidelity or, you know, unfaithfulness, and mm-hmm. he's screwing out around on her and all this, whatever. Mm-hmm. What, you know, what do you tell him? I think you're a little more harsher than you've been here so far, but.
Well, I just say dump him.
Yeah.
Period. You're worth more than that.
Yeah.
You deserve better. You know, if you're worried about that now.
Right.
And you haven't made, you know, the commitment to be married, it's not getting better from here.
Yeah. Well, who is it?
And, you know, a lot of women think, oh, if I could only be more, you know, something sexy or skinnier or, you know, whatever, then he wouldn't do that. But it really has nothing to do with you.
Yeah.
The cheater is cheating for his own benefit. It has nothing to do with you at all. And I think that's a huge load off of me. You know, to know that it wasn't anything that I did wrong. You know, it's kind of like with the kids and when the parents divorce, they blame themselves. It was nothing to do with them.
I guess we wouldn't say that it's not possible to be happy in a relationship where someone's not faithful, but I think that to get to a point where you are happy would be very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, trust and, I mean, the respect. I mean, for me, that's the huge point.
I think that the respect would be, for my case, right. The respect was gone.
Well, and the person doesn't respect.
This day, I don't have that respect for him.
Yeah.
So that's done, gone. And I don't really think he cares. I don't think he cared then because he didn't respect himself. So how could he expect anyone else to respect him?
Yeah. Yeah. We have our dog here, Pepper. She's a Westie.
Moral support.
Yeah, she's a Westie that we rescued. I think she's been through some very unhealthy relationships in her life as well. She was actually
trust issues.
She was a canine call mm-hmm. girl, I guess maybe.
Yeah.
Well,
pretty much.
It was
unpaid
her,
prostitute.
Yeah,
it was years and years
against her will, but she's making progress. I think sometimes. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'm not so sure, but
well, the problem is she's now getting old.
Yeah.
So. She got those problems.
Well, I hope that she's happy. She seems to be.
Well, I mean, she'll be happier when she gets her dinner.
Yeah.
She's all right, simple.
So,
all she needs is dinner.
So you can be happy, but it would probably take some work from your experience.
I think when infidelity is discovered, I think it's imperative that you separate. I really do. I don't mean that you have to divorce. I mean that you just need to not be together and work on things separately, you know?
Yeah.
Well,
because you
and
obviously...
And I say the cheater's got to go. You got to go get an apartment.
Yeah.
Or go back and live with mom and dad or whatever you got to do, brother or sister. Hey, go live with the girl you were cheating with. No. Yeah. Probably wouldn't work real well, but...
Well, you'd know. I guess you'd find out one way or the other.
True
that's
enough.
The way it's going to go.
Yeah.
But,
and then try to, you know, work back into a relationship, you know, discover something new if you're both willing to work for it.
Yeah.
I just think that would be, you know, I think it would be impossible to be living in the same house and doing that. You know, you both need to go back to square one.
Yeah.
And just,
but then if they're not living in your house, how are you going to know if they're
you're not gonna
staying
know.
True to...
You're never going to gonna know.
They're going to be out
the trust
running the town.
The trust is gone.
Yeah.
So go ahead and imagine they are.
Yeah.
And are you willing to live that way?
The fear of being alone is... You know, and I know from experience, I'd rather, you know, being in a relationship that's unhealthy and is a lot of times more, you know, more secure than the fear of being alone, which is sad, but that's the way that I was for a long time.
There you go.
There you go. At the end of the day, we all put our...
Well, I'm sure glad that I got out of that relationship and met you.
Well, I'm really glad that I went through all the crap that I had to go through as well. And so, well, I think that's it for today. I'd had a topic in mind for next week, and
great.
I can't really remember what it was now.
Oh, wow.
I think it was like something like communication or...
Well, you have a week.
Yeah.
You have a week to figure it out.
Or maybe, you know, finances. You know, we keep separate finances. That's always...
Yeah.
People are amazed at that sometimes.
Really?
Yeah, that we...
Keep our money separate?
Yeah. But the same.
Yeah. I mean, I know that it's all ours, but I think when I earn it, it should be in my bank account. When you earn it, in yours.
Yeah.
Split the bills.
Oh, online dating, that could be something fun as well, because that's how we met.
That would be a good one.
So we got some good advice, or not advice, experiences there. So anyway, that's
that might be a good topic for next week.
I think it would be fun.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'll be thinking of things that I want to discuss, and you'd be thinking about...
We'll be a little more relaxed, I think, next week, since it's our second one.
It's a little awkward.
Yeah, because we're usually pretty funny. But
unfortunately, we're not on camera, so you can't see all of the...
Yeah.
Equipment we have in front of us now. So, usually when we're talking, we don't have all
just,
of this in front of us. So.
Us sitting in the couch or on the couch. Yeah. But
yeah.
And anyway, well, thanks for listening. This is the How to Be Happy podcast with Emily and Jared Akers. And you can find me online at jaredakers.com.
Lots of good stuff there.
Yeah, jaredakers.com, and sign up for my newsletter. You can get practical tips and exercises on how to be
great
happy.
Stuff.
Happiness in everyday living.
I get it.
Currently actually working on a book as well, so that should be out in a couple months, hopefully.
Yay.
But anyway, thank you.